Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. This wasn't the way baseball was supposed to come back to Washington. Today on Capitol Hill, the House Committee on Government Reform held a hearing on steroid use in Major League Baseball. Some of the game's biggest stars were compelled to testify, including an emotional Mark McGwire, who explained why he wouldn't name names of players who might have juiced up.
I've always been a team player. I've never been a person who spread rumors or said things about teammates that can hurt them. I do not sit in judgment of other players, whether it deals with their sexual preference, their marital problems, or other personal habits, including whether or not they use chemical substance. That has never been my style, and I do not intend to change this just because the cameras are turned on.
Hot rumors of steroid use date back at least to the 1990s, as McGwire and Sammy Sosa chased the ball and each other to break the single-season home run record. In 2003, federal authorities raided the Balco lab in California, and charges surfaced that it supplied steroids to many athletes, including top baseball players. New York Yankee Jason Giambi apparently admitted use in his grand jury testimony in that case. Did he or didn't he bury Bonds remains a question mark. Then along came Jose Canseco. In a new tell-all book, the former Major League slugger said he injected himself and other teammates left and right for years. With opening day on deck, the greatest show on dirt is sporting some serious and today very public mud on its face. Tonight on Point, Congress goes to bat against steroid use in Major League Baseball. You can join the conversation tonight. Did you follow today's testimony? Are the eye-opening records of the past 10 years a juiced-up sham? And is this a problem that Congress can fix? You can join us tonight at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. We begin in Washington tonight with John Harwood, national political editor for The Wall Street Journal. John, thanks for being with us.
Hey, Tom.
And with Ken Davidoff, sports columnist for Newsday, who was at the hearing today. Ken, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Ken, first to you, if I may, just the spectacle of these superstars of Major League Baseball sitting in the congressional hearing room, how did it come across?
Well, it came across as just that, a spectacle. It was really something else. I'd say, no one really distinguished himself or herself, whether we're talking about the players or the congressmen and women. I think all around it was a pretty embarrassing outing.
John Harwood, fish out of water, these baseball sluggers on Capitol Hill?
They were definitely fish out of water, and some were more adept at it than others. Kurt Schilling may have a political future for himself. He was very adept at handling questions, deflecting ones that where he didn't like the premises and jabbing back at the lawmakers to some degree. The one who was really a fish out of water was Mark McGwire. He was extremely uncomfortable. He was emotional as he was in that clip that you mm-hmm. played, and was very obviously ducking any questions that would seem to point not to teammates as he cast it in his opening, but to him, which is pretty significant because he's somebody who really sort of burned himself into the national consciousness when he was breaking Babe Ruth's home run record.
And, of course, now Jose Canseco saying that he helped McGwire shoot up with steroids. John, remind us of why Congress is in the middle of this issue. There's a lot of things going on in the country and the world. What is it that put this in the middle of a congressional hearing?
Well, I think there's two things. First of all, Congress, you may have noticed, Tom, likes television cameras, likes attention.
Yes, we noticed.
And when you have an issue that galvanizes the attention of the American people, members of Congress want to get involved in it. Now, that's not altogether bad. Baseball obviously did not handle this problem very well for a long period of time, and one of the things that elected officials do is lean on things that may not be about taxes or spending, but may be about things that are important to American families, and this is one of them. Hundreds of thousands of young people have taken steroids, imitating what they've seen in Major League Baseball. The committee heard testimony from parents of some who'd killed themselves. So it is a public health issue. And for that reason, I think it's a legitimate subject for Congress to look into.
And Ken Davidoff, how do you see this inquiry hitting Major League Baseball? What's the impact likely to be of Congress now getting its more than a toe in this water?
Well, I think the only impact will be that on Mark McGwire. I think everyone now is it's going to be very difficult to defend Mark McGwire after his performance today.
You mean impact on him because he did not outright deny using steroids?
Right, exactly. He dodged every question, as John said. In terms of the big picture, it's not going to impact baseball at all. They'll be forgotten very shortly. But Mark McGwire's 70 home runs in 1998 have never been more questionable than they are tonight.
Henry Waxman, Democrat from California, went straight at the players. He asked them if they knew how prevalent steroid use was among their teammates. Let's listen.
Mr. Sosa, did you know that other players were using steroids?
To my analysis, I don't know.
You didn't know. Mr. Canseco?
Absolutely, yes.
Now, you say it so affirmatively, you knew others were doing it, but the others seemed to be vague about it. Was it only where you were playing?
I didn't hear you, sorry.
Well, they seem to be vague as to whether other players, whether it was known by the players that some players were using steroids. Do you think that there should have been any doubt in anybody's mind that steroids was being used by, would you say, a large number of
right.
players?
There should have been no doubt whatsoever. None.
Well, does it stop with ball players? Steroid use has grown. Do you think that the team trainers, the managers, the general managers, and even the owners might have been aware that some players were using steroids?
No doubt in my mind. Absolutely.
So it's not a secret that stayed with just the players. Others knew it in the baseball community.
Absolutely. I believe that, yes.
Do any of you disagree with that? Mr. Schilling?
Disagree with?
The idea that not only did some baseball players know that others were using it, but that managers and other teammates and the trainers also were aware of it.
Again, I think it falls into the same. I think there was a lot of suspicion, a lot of questioning, but I don't think any, unless you were Jose and you were actually using, I don't think you have any firsthand knowledge about who knew.
I don't think you had any firsthand knowledge about who knew. An uncomfortable line of questioning there on Capitol Hill today. Ken Davidoff, Jose Canseco's really blown the lid off this again with his book that's out right now, Juiced. He said today in an interview that steroid use was rampant in the late 90s. Quoting him, meaning, in my opinion, 80% of the athletes were using them. Everybody else kind of fudging and fuzzy here today. What do you make of that 80% number in Major League Baseball?
He said that today?
Apparently. I'm looking at a CNN report here. He said it on satellite radio today.
I think that's a little high. I think it was, you know, I would even buy 50%, but I think 80% is high.
So, but 50%, I mean, that's a lot of ball players.
It certainly is.
So are we going to screw the pressure up so tight here that somehow Major League Baseball changes its policy?
Well, see, the whole farce of this hearing is that Major League Baseball has changed its policy twice in the last 3 years. Since the scandal hit its peak when Ken Caminiti confessed to his use in 2002, there was 1% of 1.7% positives last year under an old test, and now it's even more stringent this year. I think as someone who's around the game a lot, you can see that you can see guys look different. Guys who used to be all muscled up look less muscular. I think these tests have had a gigantic impact, and I really don't think at this point baseball needs to toughen up its plan too much more.
And John Harwood, what's your sense of the committee of Congress? Is it going to be satisfied with its star turn in front of the television lights there in the company of great ball players, or is it going to walk deeper into these waters?
Tom Davis, the chairman of the Government Reform Committee that held the hearing, says this is the early innings of what may be a long game. I don't know exactly what he has up his sleeve, and part of that may hinge on whether baseball, with the change policy that Ken referred to, actually follows through and is evidently changing things. Of course, the members of the committee have raised questions in the last 24 hours or so about whether the policy was as stringent as first advertised. There were some things about it they hadn't realized, which they brought to light things like the testing policy would be obviated if there was an investigation of baseball, or questions about how tough a first punishment would be for a first offense. But where I would disagree with Ken is that I don't think it's necessarily a farce for Congress to focus national attention on a problem in a way that probably was more concentrated today than has existed at any point. And what better way to communicate to young people in the country, many of whom who have been emulating these ball players, that this is a problem? I don't see how more public attention and embarrassment, frankly, to baseball is a bad thing.
Ken Davidoff, please.
Yeah, John, I agree with you, and I just want to clarify my statement there. It's a farce in this focus on the current state of baseball. I think baseball has made tremendous progress in the last 2 years in this issue. That being said, I am happy to see baseball embarrassed for its further past, let's call it 1988 to 2002. Bud Selig refuses to discuss that issue. I'm thrilled that Congress convened today to make Bud Selig and other and Mark McGuire discuss that time period, because they profited financially from that time period, and now they deserve to pay the price for it. So just to clarify my position there.
And those records, Ken, set during that period, are they going to stand? Any chance they'll ever be stripped away as the product of a juiced-up decade?
We'll just refer to it as a steroids era, but the records will stand.
The records will stand.
Yes.
There it is, Ken Davidoff with Newsday, sports columnist there, was covering the hearings in Washington today on Capitol Hill. Ken, thanks very much for being with us tonight.
Thank you.
And John Harwood, national political editor for the Wall Street Journal. Not your usual meat and potatoes, John, but we're glad you were keeping an eye on it.
Hey, I'm a fan like everybody else.
John, thanks for being with us tonight.
You bet.
Listeners, we are talking tonight about Congress going after steroid use in Major League Baseball, about roid rage in Washington today over baseball pros pumped up on steroids. You can join the conversation tonight. Did you follow today's testimony? Did your jaw drop at the allegations of rampant steroid use or at the denials? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking tonight about Congress going after steroid use in Major League Baseball today on Capitol Hill. You can join the conversation. Who do you believe? Do you believe tell-all Jose Canseco or, I don't want to talk about it, Mark McGuire? And should steroid use be this high on the congressional dance card? Is this a problem that Congress can fix? Is it already fixed? You can join us tonight at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. There was a lot of evasion at today's hearing. Here, Mark McGuire evades a question from Representative John Sweeney, a Republican from New York, about the steroid precursor Andro, which was legal in baseball when McGuire was said to have used it when he set baseball's single-season home run record.
Well, sir, I'm not here to talk about the past. I'm here to talk about the positive and not the negative about this issue.
Were you ever counseled that precursors or designer steroids might have the same impact?
I'm not here to talk about the past.
That answer from Mark McGuire prompted this angry response from Mark Soder, Republican of Indiana.
As far as this being about the past, that's what we do. This is an oversight committee. If the Enron people come in here and say, well, we don't want to talk about the past, do you think Congress is going to let them get away with that? If when we were doing investigations on the travel office, on Whitewater, if President Nixon had said about Watergate, when Congress was investigating Watergate, we don't talk about the past. How in the world are we supposed to pass legislation when you're a protected monopoly? And all your salaries are paid because you're a protected monopoly. How are we supposed to figure out what our obligations are to the taxpayers if you say we won't talk about the past? I want to praise those people who've come forward and have been in awkward situations before because of peer pressure and said, look, I'm clean, but I'm really disappointed because we have to talk about the past because there isn't any way to address this.
Congressman Mark Souter of Indiana today, and he wants to talk about it, whatever Mark McGuire might think. We're talking tonight about this roid rage in Washington today over baseball pros pumped up on steroids. You can join the conversation 1-800-423-8255. We've got some great insights coming at us tonight from folks who really know the business. Joining us from Locust Grove, Virginia tonight is Dave Kindred, columnist for the Sporting News, author of Glove Stories, the collected baseball writings of Dave Kindred. Dave, thanks for being with us tonight.
My pleasure, Tom.
And with us from Coral Springs, Florida, Larry Starr. From 72 to 92, Larry Starr was head athletic trainer for the Cincinnati Reds. In 1974, he introduced the concept of strength training to Major League Baseball. From 1993 to 2001, he was head athletic trainer for the Florida Marlins. He's now assistant athletic director in charge of sports medicine and an adjunct professor at Nova Southeastern University. Larry Starr, thank you very much for joining us tonight.
Thanks, Tom. Nice to be here.
And with us tonight, On Point News analyst Jack Beatty joining us tonight from Hanover, New Hampshire. Jack, good to have you along.
Hey, Tom. Hello to our guests.
So a lot to chew on here tonight, but Dave Kindred, just to clarify for a moment, we just heard the congressman from Indiana there talking about baseball's protected monopoly, which may be the connective tissue here between Congress and the sport. This is not an ordinary industry. It has a special status that Congress oversees.
They've had an antitrust exemption for maybe 60 years now that it's never made any sense to real lawyers and real people in the real anti-monopoly world. So it does give Congress a hold on them. It's kind of the hammer that Congress always threatens and waves at them. You know, you may lose your antitrust exemption if you don't behave. I think there's some of that in this.
And an antitrust exemption meaning that there's not going to be another league grow up to challenge them. And that, I guess, in turn, Dave, you could easily tie to the sky-high salaries and big, big, big money in Major League Ball because they can't be challenged by an alternate set of leagues.
Well, and it also enables them to extort stadiums from public funds. It makes sure there are only two teams in New York City when a real market might have six teams in New York City. You know, it would take care of that big market anyway.
So it works pretty well for them. Jack Beatty, you listened to a fair bit of the testimony today. It's still going on. Bud Siegel's been in the hot seat. We'll hear some of that later. What do you take away from the testimony today, Jack, from this flap in the halls of Congress?
Well, I was struck with the agreement between Jose Canseco and his antagonist, Curt Schilling. They both basically agreed that the problem was yesterday. Today, the random testing has cut down if not eliminated, the use of steroids. And to have Canseco agreeing about that, since he's been indicting the game in the 90s, I think that was very significant.
Can I just
interrupt you 1 second there and say, if you believe anything that Jose Canseco says, I mean, he's got a book out that he's now denying what he wrote. So I don't believe anything he says.
So you're sitting with the ball players who look down with pretty much complete disdain at Jose Canseco, Dave Kindred?
Yes. I mean, he in the book he says that, you know, we should embrace steroids. Under oath today, he said steroids are a bad thing. Get them out of here. He said 80% of baseball players use steroids. Today he says it's not a problem. You know, I don't believe, he's on both sides of every issue.
You were saying yourself that something like half may have used steroids.
No, I didn't say that.
Oh, excuse me. That was Ken David. What is your assessment in the 90s?
Jose was saying that his 80% was based on a time period from 1988 to 1992.
Mm-hmm.
He was even evading his own percentages there.
I
think if there are 7% of baseball players who tested positive last year, knowing they were going to be tested, yeah, I think that it indicates a great degree of ignorance, and they're probably more than 7%. The 7% is the 7% dumbest players in Major League Baseball got caught last year.
Larry Starr in Coral Springs, help us out here. You've been in the thick of this game for a long time. You brought strength training in, and I want to talk about that. Mm-hmm. But you had a front row seat, more than front row. You're in the dugout here. What's your sense in the 90s of how widespread steroid use became?
Well, I'd like to say, first of all, it's unfortunate that we're shooting the messenger. And I agree. I think the messenger is not a very good messenger. Mr. Canseco. I think he's made a lot of claims that aren't true, and obviously can't back them up. The second thing, but at the same time, whatever it took to get the issue out in the open so that young people know that steroids are extremely bad, can be deadly, can cause suicide, can cause other many health problems, whatever that took, I'm just so happy that it's out there. You know, I'm dealing now with 18 to 20-year-old athletes, and the NCAA level, we can test them anytime we want. And our goal is to make sure that they are educated and are taking care of themselves and not putting things in their body. And that not only is steroids, but any even legal supplements that are very harmful, like androstenine and so forth.
Larry, let me ask you, how widespread do you believe steroid use became during this, apparently, this high period?
I don't think there was major. I mean, I wouldn't put it at 50%. Of the teams I had in the 30 years I was in the major leagues, you know, obviously the first 15 or 20 years I was in the major leagues, there was never a talk of steroids, and I don't think it was ever used. It came into being maybe in the mid-'80s, late-'80s, a few players did it. And obviously the biggest problem, and the problem I have with some of the administration, is that, well, there's nothing to say that that it really happened, and that's because it was never tested. But to say that it was never brought up, I'd have to disagree with that. There were meetings after meetings at the winter baseball meetings where the team physicians and athletic trainers, and I'd like to clarify something very important.
Yes, please.
I've heard the term used that trainers were giving steroids, or that Canseco has used the word trainers. There's a big difference between an athletic trainer, which is what I am, a certified athletic trainer licensed to practice, than an actual personal trainer, or just some guy that calls himself a trainer because he teaches somebody how to lift weights, or he even gives them steroids. And I'm very upset that we have been lumped into I being a medical professional and being a licensed, certified athletic trainer, very upset that we're lumped into that.
We hear that loud and clear. I want to hear some more from today's testimony. Here's Congressman Henry Waxman, again, Democrat, California, asking Red Sox pitcher Curt Schilling about whether baseball can take care of its steroid problem or if Congress needs to step in.
30 years they've done nothing, and even the proposal that you're vouching for is not in effect yet. It's only a draft, and it's filled with loopholes. And what you seem to be telling us is what baseball seems to be telling us, trust us. Don't you think there's a reason not to trust them?
What do you mean by 30 years of history?
Well, 30 years ago, there was a committee hearing in Congress that looked at this whole problem, and Bowie Kuhn was the commissioner, and he assured the congressman that they were going to do testing and they were going to stop steroids. That was 30 years ago. There have been so many other incidents of reports in the last 10, 15 years of widespread steroid use. Nothing has happened from the baseball industry. And even now, when they've put a testing program in place, it seems to be full of holes. Don't you think at some point, even a Republican would say, as a Democrat would say, how long do we go along with this trust that something's going to be done when we don't see a very good record?
I can't answer for the prior 30 years. I can answer for my time in the game as a player. I think there's a huge contingent. Like I said, there's 98.3% of us that have tested clean, that are all for as stringent a testing as we can get that's constitutional and fair. And
you accept the test.
Absolutely.
There's Congressman Waxman and pitcher Schilling. Later on in the day, not long ago, Bud Selig was in the chair, and here Republican Christopher Shays of Connecticut grilled both Commissioner Bud Selig and Donald Fair, executive director of the Baseball Players Union, for not instituting tougher penalties for players who test positive for steroids. Here, Representative Shays asks why players are allowed 5 positive tests before they are banned from the game.
Why should someone have 5 strikes before they're out? I'd like to go right down the list. Why 5 strikes?
Congressman, let me begin by saying...
I'm not going to have you begin. I like the commissioner. Why five strikes, commissioner?
Because that's the negotiated policy right now, Congressman. That's the best we could do in collective bargaining. This is collective bargaining.
So it's the player's fault?
I didn't say it's the player's
fault. No, because I want to know your position. Is your position one strike and you're out?
No, it isn't, but the penalties would be much tougher if I had my way as I did in the minor league.
Let's not blame the players then a second. Collective bargaining.
Blaming the players.
I want to know why you need five strikes and you're out.
I wouldn't.
I want to know why you can break the law once, break the law twice, break the law three times, break the law four times, and then you're out. Could someone else, Mr. Fear, maybe you could tell me, because you represent the players.
Two things. First of all, the notion of progressive discipline is well ingrained in collective bargaining agreements in this country and has been for years.
Even when you break the law?
It has been for years, yes. Now, second, I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought, Congressman.
The question is, why should you have five strikes before you're out?
Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you. The second reason is, did I believe that doing it this way, with the public disclosures, would accomplish the result of getting it stopped? The answer is yes, I did, and I think the data we have so far supports that.
Well, why would it accomplish it if you have five strikes before eight? You can break the law four times before you're asked to leave baseball.
I can't say it any more than I have. We believe in the concept of progressive discipline. It is well ingrained in labor law and has been for a long time. We believe that if what you do is you have a circumstance in which there's a positive test, there's no treatment program like there was under the first one, that was the criticism last year, it becomes publicly known, that individual is now subjected, that person, immediately to individualized testing. He's no longer part of the random program. He gets it on an ongoing basis. If he screws it up, he's gone.
My light's on, but the bottom line is what you're telling the kids is you can break the law four times before you're out of the game.
There's Donald Fair, head of the Baseball Players Union, and Commissioner Bud Selig under questioning by Representative Christopher Shays, Republican of Connecticut. Larry Starr and Dave Kindred, let me ask you, what about the five strikes rule? Dave Kindred, first to you. Is it fair? Does it make sense?
Well, I agree with Don Fair on that. I don't agree with him on a whole lot of things, but I do think there is a progressive element to it. You know, certainly it's against the law. It's literally against the law to possess or use steroids. You know, so that's a matter for the law to judge. It's not a matter for baseball to say because you broke the law, we have to end your career. I think the Olympic gold standard, as they kept calling it, is draconian. You know, there are too many elements there that allow them to ruin a person's life. You know, actually with, you know, things called non-analytical positives, you know, a combination of circumstantial evidence without even a positive test. So I think baseball needs to be tougher, but somewhere short of what the Olympics does.
Larry Starr?
Yeah, I think the problem I have with that is that baseball's rules concerning gambling is if you're caught gambling, you're out.
Yeah.
One time. Mm. They don't give you five shots on that one. They didn't give Pete Rose five shots. So if you're going around telling people that we want a game that is squeaky clean and that we want a game that's fair and is least amount of risk to our employees, so to speak, then why not keep the same standard throughout?
Larry Starr, let me ask you, I wonder, you were for a long time head athletic trainer for the Reds and then also for a long time with the Florida Marlins. Mm-hmm. You introduced the whole notion of strength training.
Yeah.
Did you, my friend, put Major League Baseball on a path that inevitably led to steroids because it became a competition of strength? Did you ever wake up in the night saying, oh, my God, what have I done?
I think I have some sense of guilt only from the standpoint that I introduced something that was abused. It's not the use of strength training that is the problem. It's the abuse of anything, but it's the abuse of strength training. I mean, when I first introduced it in 1974, I thought I was going to get fired because my pitching coach and my hitting coach both said, that's not right. Dude, we don't need strength training. That's bad for you. It's going to make you tight. You won't be able to throw.
Yep.
You won't be able to hit. And I had to fight and luckily had the support of my general manager that said, okay, Larry, if you feel this is what is needed to make our players healthier and to keep them on the field, then go ahead and do it. But my preach to them always was, I am not trying to make you the strongest player in the world or the biggest player. I want a player that has good muscle balance, that his hamstrings and quads can both take it. That is, that he is a good overall player, and that includes doing stretching and running and all the other things, good nutrition.
Let me ask you this. 1990, yeah. Your team, the Cincinnati Reds, swept mm-hmm. the Oakland A's. Mark
yeah,
McGuire,
did.
Jose Canseco were on the A's that year. Were they juiced?
I think that they had reached abnormal proportions that would have been hard to do with any naturally. And obviously, Canseco's admitted he has, and McGuire has not denied it. And, you know, my policy always was I had three choices. I could have said to myself, if I think someone's on steroids and I can't do anything about it, I might as well quit. That's one problem.
Well, were you able to do anything about it?
No. My only thing I could do about it was to keep my door open and act as a consultant to my players. And my players should have had the freedom and the confidence to come to me and say, Larry, I'm thinking about taking some drug, or I'm thinking
yep.
about taking steroids, what do you think? And I'll tell them, you're wrong. You can't do that. That's going to be harmful to you, long-term, your health, and also it's illegal.
And
so,
when you looked out on the field, could you pick out the guys who were juiced or not?
There are signs that if you're knowledgeable about what steroids do to the body, both the feminine changes that can occur, the changes that can occur with acne and loss of hair. The other big sign is, as a player that adds so much mass in a short period of time but doesn't add any fat.
Larry Starr, we're going to come right back. Dave Kindred, Jack Beatty, we're talking tonight about Congress going after steroid use in Major League Baseball. You can join us, 1-800-423-8255. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking tonight about roid rage in Washington today over baseball pros pumped up on steroids. You can join the conversation tonight. How does it look to you? Was Major League Baseball drenched in steroids? And now, are the records of the last 10 years a juiced-up sham? Should Major League Baseball feel responsible for high school athletes juicing themselves, sometimes, we heard today, to death, and have steroids and their out-of-the-park home run spectaculars made baseball less or more attractive to you? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. We're joined tonight by Dave Kindred, sports columnist for The Sporting News. His latest book, Glove Stories. We're joined from Coral Springs, Florida by Larry Starr, longtime head athletic trainer for the Cincinnati Reds and later for the Florida Marlins. Our own Jack Beatty is with us as well. There was some heartrending testimony today before the Congress, before the committee, not from players, but from Donald Hooten, father of Taylor Hooten, a high school baseball player who committed suicide after steroid use, taking steroid-using athletes to task in the hearing today.
I am sick and tired of having you tell us that you don't want to be considered role models. If you haven't figured it out yet, let me break the news to you that whether you like it or not, you are role models. And parents across America should hold you accountable for behavior that inspires our kids to do things that put their health at risk and that teaches them that the ethics we try to teach them around our kitchen table somehow don't apply to them. Second, our kids know that the use of anabolic steroids is high amongst professional athletes. They don't need to read Mr. Canseco's new book to know that something other than natural physical ability is providing many of you with the ability to break so many performance records that provides you with the opportunity to make those millions of dollars. Our youngsters hear the message loud and clear, and it's wrong. If you want to achieve your goal, it's okay to use steroids to get you there because the pros are doing it. It's a real challenge for parents to overpower the strong message that's being sent to our children by your behavior.
There, a father who lost his son to steroids and suicide, Donald Hooten, his son Taylor Hooten, was a high school baseball player who committed suicide after steroid use. Jack Beatty, that had to be tough for anybody listening. But what do you think? Is it fair to draw the line from the pump-dump giants in the Major League Baseball arenas to the high school kid dead on the floor after steroid use?
Well, I don't think there's any question about it. They're under a heavy moral responsibility. They enacted a pattern that these young people picked up. Every time they appeared in the on-deck circle looking like Pillsbury Doughboys, that sent a message. Every time they set a record, I hit a home run. That sent a message. The national love affair with McGuire and Sosa during 98, that sent a huge message that you can pretty much do this and so what? So long as you win, it's okay. Now, that's a very American lesson, but you really hate seeing baseball getting into the act and also just the consequences here. I mean, kids have died. Kids have hurt themselves. So, yeah, one congressman said, you know, those parents are sitting directly behind you, to one of the players. Mm. And that would have made me feel a shiver if I had been one of those players, and they should have felt it.
Dave Kindred, how do you see it? The moral weight of young people on steroids, of a high school player here dead, does it properly lie on the shoulders of Major League Baseball?
Absolutely. I did a column, in fact, maybe 2 months ago with the Garibaldis, Denise and Ray Garibaldi, the parents of Rob Garibaldi, who was a 24-year-old college baseball player who had been on steroids since he was 16. I did the column because he lived in the San Francisco area. He grew up idolizing Barry Bonds, had Bonds' picture on his wall. He did not do steroids because Bonds did, or he thought Bonds did. Mm. He did steroids because the culture demanded that he get bigger and stronger. He was like a 5'10", 155-pound outfielder. Everyone, the scouts, he had everything except size. The scouts told him he needed to be bigger and stronger, so he started on steroids, got them illegally, drove to Mexico, you know, got bad steroids, was hooked. Anyway, the long story made short is that 2001, I believe, he was watching TV in the spring, saw Barry Bonds come on the screen, said, "My God, Dad, look at his head." And then
It looked above his body.
That was not the reason that Rob Garibaldi used steroids. He was already on steroids, but it was confirmation of his need. He said to his father, "If Barry Bonds needs to do it, I need to do it."
And right on down it flows. Our callers have been patiently waiting. I want to turn to them. Tony is calling from Watertown, Massachusetts. Hi, Tony. You're on the air.
Hi. First, it makes me kind of chuckle to think that we're in the same country who chastised East Germans for doping to win at the Olympics about 25 years ago.
Mm-hmm. And severely for all those mustachioed.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing is, I don't think baseball, we are talking about baseball, but just to look at our society, I don't think I have to remind anyone that the head of the WorldCom just was convicted of cooking books to make billions of dollars.
So what's the connection?
Well, you see, California governor lost his job because Enron and the gang cooked up the price of electricity to make billions of dollars. We live in winner-takes-all society, and those winners are celebrated. And one thing that anyone who watches what happens with people who use steroids has to agree with Conseco is that average athletes become great athletes, and great athletes become incredible athletes.
Once they're on the juice.
Being an incredible athlete translates in making a lot of money.
Well, it has. I want to put that to Larry Starr. Tony, thanks for your call. Larry, how about it? Did you feel competitive pressure among these players? They'd watch their teammates getting big and bigger and then huge and then off the charts. Who could resist a little steroid use to stay in that game?
Well, there's no question that the one thing about size and mass it does for baseball players, you don't have to have a lot of mass to hit a baseball because it doesn't weigh very much, and a bat only weighs 32 ounces.
Mm-hmm.
But it does give you tremendous confidence. And if you watch McGuire and Canseco and Bonds and those guys, they have tremendous confidence. And some of that is because they have great skill. I mean, Mark McGuire hit 49 home runs as a rookie before he got the size he is now.
Yeah, tremendous number already then.
So you always start with the bottom nine is that the skill was there. And that the use of some substance like steroids probably gets them up to a little bit farther. The problem I have is that when you say that there's pressure on players to do that, I agree there probably is. But for how many years was the game that didn't have that? And we had a lot of great players, and the skills were there. So it really boils down to putting procedures and policies in effect that doesn't cater to that lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't allow them to do it. And the problem is you had an owners group and a players group that couldn't agree. They couldn't agree on something as important as the health care of the athlete.
Mm-hmm. Dave Kindred, they couldn't agree or they didn't want to agree. You know, Jose Canseco makes an argument, and I've got to say, it's got a ring of truth to it. Baseball was in trouble in the mid-90s as the game was dying, and then, boom, 98. You've got McGuire and Sosa chasing this record. So much excitement that, you know, everybody's back. Quoting him, he says, people were as excited about baseball as they had ever been, going back to the heyday of Babe Ruth and those guys. And why? This is Canseco writing, because the owners had been smart enough not to chase steroid use out of the game. Do you agree? Do you believe, Dave Kindred, that there was an intentional blind eye here to juice up the whole game?
I don't buy that. I do think that something happened, but I don't think that, I'm not cynical. You know, I'm a cynical sports writer, but I'm not so cynical as to think that owners participated in this. You know, maybe turning a blind eye is the best way to put it, but they had no power to investigate it. There was no agreement that you could not use drugs. It was not against any of their rules. If it was a police matter, then let the police do it. It's illegal. It's a crime. But there was nothing that baseball management could do about it at the time.
I guess the problem I have is that if we were the only organization in all of sports that did not do testing, I could maybe see where, you know, we might be in the mainstream. But when every other professional sport was doing testing and every amateur sport was doing extensive testing, why was Major League Baseball the last person to do that?
Well, the answer to that is in one man, Marvin Miller. Marvin Miller was the boss of the Major League Players Baseball Association at the time.
Yeah.
Was adamant about it and is still adamant at age 83 or 84 about counting it as an invasion of privacy.
Right.
He thought there was no way that baseball should have any information about players obtained through urinalysis.
So it boils down to a lack of trust between the players and the
absolutely.
Owners.
But, of course, as Larry Starr says,
a century's worth of mistrust.
Yeah, I agree.
But leaving baseball in a class of its own, and not a pretty one there. Jack?
Yeah, you know, Exhibit A for the contention that the owners were complicit in this is the contract that George Steinbrenner signed with Jason Giambi. I remember articles about that contract that practically drew a box around euphemisms and ways of getting around the fact that they all knew. And it was right there in legal gobbledygook, covering up the fact that they knew there were health contingencies and other matters. But it was just as plain as could be that they were saying, listen, that's why we're buying you. We don't want the unjuiced Jason. We want you juiced up.
We want the big guy. We've got a lot of callers who've been patiently waiting. Michael's calling from Raleigh, North Carolina. Hi, Michael. What do you think?
Yeah, hey, hi. How are you guys tonight?
We're good. Turn your radio down, Michael.
Okay. I'm a baseball card collector, you know, and I think what's not really being stated is the fact that the records should be taken away from these guys, because whether it's owners or not, they cheated. And they used a substance that helped them, that increased their ability to hit the ball farther. And they've got anabolic steroids that they can speed up your reactions. And I think the issue of the records and what these guys have done to a game that kids look to, that they're cheaters.
So you'd straight up strike those records from the books, Michael? Thanks
strike
for your call.
From the books. That's good, you know. But the thing is, you know,
no.
I mean, the corporations and the money that's involved in the sport have actually been a detriment to the sport. I think something has happened to the sport.
We hear it, but I want to look at those records, Larry Starr. How would you vote? Let them stand or take them away?
You can't. How do you know which? If Mark McGuire hit 49 without it, and he hit 70 with steroids, what do you take? Do you take away 21? I mean, I don't know how you do that. And there's no proof to say that he was on steroids. So unless you had proof, I don't think you can do that. No, I disagree with that.
But if steroid use goes away, it could sit there like a
it's suspicion. It's not going to go away now. Not when the government got into it. Like I said before, I think the best thing that's happened is that Canseco wrote a book, whether he was a good source or not, to get people thinking and get people talking.
And you think steroid use is or is not going to go away?
It's going to go away.
So you'll have that spike standing there.
I meant not going to go away, that we'll just forget about it and let anybody do it.
Yeah.
They'll clean it up now.
Well, we'll see. Nita's calling from Franklin, Massachusetts. Hi, Nita. You're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
Great. Thanks, Nita.
It's great to listen to all of these really excited opinions about baseball. But I think the one thing, I want to make 2 points. The first thing is that nobody would watch it if, as the previous caller said, it was just a bunch of average guys. Kind of, sorry, I'm letting
you know. Average guys like Roger Maris and Mickey Mantle? I mean, yeah. A lot of people watched
Willie
for a long
Mays,
time.
Johnny Bench?
What I'm saying is that the owners are complicit and everyone turns a blind eye because people want to see exciting games. They want to see Mark McGwire chase the record.
And it did get exciting. And your second
it
point,
did, and that's why people were tuning in, and it shot some money into the veins of baseball.
Yep.
The one thing that I really, really want to say here is that, I think it's so tragic that kids take their lives. But I think that when you drum into these people, your role models, they're not. A lot of them aren't even from this country. They're trying to make a living. Parents need to stop passing that buck. You need to know when your kid's got zits across his back and his testicles are the size of raisins, he's on steroids.
But talk
to him and stop it.
But you don't see role models. Who cares where they come from? When they stand up there with all the glory of Major League ball, I mean, how can that role model be avoided, Nita?
That's right.
I played baseball as a kid, and
you did it without steroids.
Yeah.
Well, okay, we got it. Nita, thanks for your call. Arthur's calling from New York City. Hi, Arthur. You're on the air.
Thank you. Two quick points. The first is why it's important. It's important to me. I've been a lifelong fan because it's made baseball look like professional wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
It's made the national pastime look phony, and that's a serious blow. Whether or not you take away the records and whether or not the fans show up, the game's credibility has really been questioned. Second thing is I was surprised at some of the media coverage or non-coverage today. There are two radio stations in New York City that are all sports all the time.
Yeah.
One of them didn't cover it at all, except for perfunctory news breaks. The other had intermittent coverage that was packaged with anti-Congress talk that began to sound like Fox Radio.
So you weren't really even hearing it.
Vehement and vitriolic.
Wow.
Incredible.
You would think it'd be right out there front and center. Arthur, thanks for your call on both those points. Dave Kindred, Larry Starr, Jack, our time is short here. Dave, I want to go to you first. On the issue of the fans and steroid use, if the new regime makes steroid use go away, Larry Starr thinks it will, overwhelmingly anyway, what about it? Are the fans going to evaporate too?
Not at all. Baseball has survived for 125, 140 years because it is the best game ever invented. Mm-hmm. It survived segregation. It survived free agency. Survived Pete Rose. It will survive this. The best thing that could have happened today was Mark McGwire admit it, get it over with, get it out, let baseball heal itself. It always has.
And Larry Starr, we've got 1 minute left here. I want you to imagine a 16-year-old baseball player out there tonight who wants to go to the pros and who just imagines what steroids would do for him. What's your message to that young player?
That's the exact reason that I've written a couple articles, and the reason I'm on this radio show or maybe be on other radio shows is that the young people have to know that what a bad effect steroids can have on you. And so my message to them, and it's not only steroids, if they come to me and say, I need this supplement, even like ephedra and stuff like that, I always tell them, you cannot put something in your body you didn't know exactly what's going to happen once that gets in your body. And as an athlete, that's even more important because of the physical nature of your sport. So, and the one thing I'd like to say is that, unfortunately, we all are to blame. I know I blame players. I blame the athletic training in that we didn't do enough. I blame owners. I blame the media because the media hops them up, too. The media likes the fact that Mark McGwire broke the record.
Sure.
So, and I blame the fans, too, because I've heard fans say, so what if it took steroids?
And on goes the parade, but we get your warning there. Larry Starr, longtime athletic trainer for the Reds, the Marlins, now at Nova Southeastern University. Thank you for being with us tonight.
Thank you, Tom.
Dave Kindred at the Sporting News, great to have you. Thanks for joining
us. Thank you,
Tom. And Jack Beatty, thanks for being on board.
Thank you.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.
On Point is a production of WBUR Boston and NPR, National Public Radio.